Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The third hour here. We got time for you if you want to join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Also, we've been talking about ChatGPT. It is not in the news right now for the jailbreak, but we're telling you about it. It is news, I think. It's important to know that you, if you've been interested in this technology and have been turned off by the fact that it is just so limited and restricted and won't let you ask questions that might possibly be offensive or whatever, then that is now optional. There's a way around the restrictions, at least for now. By the time you get this, if you're listening on the podcast tomorrow or something like that, it may already be fixed. They may have already patched this little bug that people are taking advantage of. But we've been sharing some of the unfiltered responses from ChatGPT here. Seeing it, nobody.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that one day somebody penetrates that company.
And releases the
releases
code.
Releases the source.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would be a beautiful thing.
Because it's a fascinating thing. If this thing is unrestricted, you can see that it actually has the ability to respond in an interesting way. It doesn't, previously prior to this jailbreak option, it wouldn't even speculate. It would just, if you asked it to speculate on something that might happen in the future, it would just make an excuse for why it can't do that and should just shut you down. Now it will. And it's actually turned it into an actual chat bot that you can actually ask meaningful questions of and get interesting answers. And it can respond in an uncensored manner. But you have to know how to ask it the question. So if you follow us on our social media over at social.freetalklive.com, at FTL is a Free Talk Live account. I'm FTL underscore Ian, and I put up a couple of links to what it looks like, how you can ask the question if you have an account. Right now, accounts are still free with the ChatGPT. They are introducing a paid level or a paid tier at this point, but the free accounts are still there. Now, presumably, they could shut your account down for this, right? Because it's not their, it's not your account, it's their account. They're letting you use their system, and if you are quote unquote right. abusing it, then they may decide to just not lock you out. At this point,
so
that
just make
happened.
Yourself a Gmail account,
yeah, sure.
and create don't use your regular one.
Yeah,
you know, and then create another Gmail account. If and when they shut you down.
Yeah, there's certainly, to those who want to dig around and experiment with this, you have a limited amount of time, likely, before this particular exploit is going to be patched and shut down. But we'll share some more experiences, some more thoughts of ChatGPT here in a bit.
Have you ever, this is something I didn't get to, is each question a transaction like, can you ask it a question that refers back to its answer to a previous question?
Generally, you can. Yes.
Okay.
It does
so
have the ability
remembers.
To remember. Beyond a certain, there's a certain limit. I remember I did ask it about its limitations, and I believe it was like 3,000 characters or something. So it does have.
Oh, that's very little, though. Okay.
Yeah, it does have some sort of limitation on that, but it can remember back. Yeah. All right, let me.
3,000 characters is like.
It's
more or less 100 lines of text.
So, and that's going to, I mean, obviously that's an arbitrary limitation as well. So.
Sure.
Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. You can bring up anything.
Yeah, you can always make the block size larger. It's easy, and it will prevent your coin from failing to scale.
Let's talk to Chuck. He's in Washington State. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of things. You guys were talking about dad jokes and salad dressing, and I, when you get into stuff like this, I always feel like I'm playing catch up with the whole idea, and I'd wish you'd talk about mustard or something like that. But the other thing that I'd really like you to ask the magic eight ball there is how deep is Mel's hole?
What the hell is that?
Mel's Hole is a place that Art Bell did a couple of radio shows on back in like 97, 96, I think it was.
Was he the guy who said, now here's the rest of the story?
No, that's Paul Harvey.
Oh, okay, groovy.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, what is Mel's hole? Oh, he hung up. I guess that was his punch out. Wasn't going to tell us what it was. All right, well, moving on here. Let's talk to, we got Jamie. She's in Alabama. Jamie, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's a little canine joke for you.
Okay, go ahead.
You get when you mix a pit bull with a shih tzu.
You tell me.
Good BS.
I missed the last words there.
Do you know them little Chinese dogs?
The shih tzu, yeah.
Yeah. You breed that with a pit bull?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You get a BS.
You get BS.
Oh, okay.
What's the B part, though? I don't know.
Bull.
Oh, bull. And okay, bull. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, it took me a moment.
Sorry. Hmm. And I heard that the Chinese people made a balloon, a spy balloon.
That's what they're saying. I don't know how you can prove that it's from China, but that's the claim in the mainstream media right now.
That's what I heard on the news and stuff.
Yeah, supposedly the Chinese government, they say, is acknowledging that it is their balloon and that it was a quote-unquote force majeure, which is a legal term for an act of God.
Literally superior force.
Yeah, that brought the balloon into U.S. airspace, and it's like floating over Montana or something like that, or it was, and supposedly has floated over intercontinental ballistic missile fields or something like that. So
Yeah,
so that's what it is.
I wonder
if when is Beer Talk Live going to be back on?
Beard Talk Live is going to be, thanks for reminding me of that.
Mm-hmm.
Beard Talk Live will be tomorrow night at 10:30 after the show.
Eastern time.
Eastern time.
Okay.
And that's at watch.freetalklive.com.
Yep.
Oh, I like it what that dude, that one guy said about Sarah.
What now?
That guy from other night when he was talking about, I bet the reason why people had rates because they was listening to Sarah on Free Talk Live.
I couldn't understand that.
I kind of missed it too.
Say that one more time.
He said the reason why those people was getting into rates because they was listening to Sarah talking on Free Talk Live.
Oh, okay. So is somebody got like a car wreck? You mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I got you. Thank you for the call tonight, Jamie. I appreciate it. Let's talk to David. He's in Jackson, Michigan, listening to WKHM. Go ahead, David.
Right on, Ian.
Welcome, sir.
And nobody.
I was born in Jackson, Michigan.
Standing by. Get out of here.
I did.
Well,
I'm in New Hampshire now.
I can make sure, nobody, if you can confirm this, what hospital, if it was a hospital, you're born in.
I don't know the name of the hospital, actually. I was... and I don't even know if my parents know because I was adopted 2 months later. Mm. So, but
seriously,
probably
I'm adopted to a different. Yeah, that's crazy.
All right, David, what's on your mind
also, we'll talk to that later. Let's talk about these Chinese so-called, first of all, China-made balloons.
Okay.
Now this is what I think about this.
They still make balloons.
Several. Yeah. Well, evidently, so. I've been looking at several news sources today, and I'm thinking to myself, being a Marine veteran,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking to myself, now what in the heck is going the F on? Just recently, I hate to say it, but a Fox News broadcast on the radio said that one was spotted over Central America.
That's one of the headlines right now at the Drudge Report.
Did you see that?
Go ahead, guys. Go ahead.
So yeah. There's more than one.
That's the claim.
Oh hell, if there's.
Well, there's an old military saying, I believe. Once is happenstance, twice is circumstance, but three times is enemy action.
Yeah, the claim at the top of the Drudge Report.
More than two?
I don't know if there's more than two, but at this point, the claim,
at the top of the
Drudge Report from CNN is the Pentagon said Friday evening that another Chinese spy balloon is currently transiting Latin America. Quote, we are seeing reports of a balloon transiting Latin America. We now assess it as another Chinese surveillance balloon, said Brigadier General Patrick Ryder. That is the latest development there. Apparently, this suspected surveillance balloon is about 60,000 feet. The one above the U.S., about 60,000 feet. That's pretty high up there, about 18,000 feet higher than commercial airplanes fly.
No doubt. Very high. And, you know, I kind of think back to the history I've read, and balloons were very popular when they, when was the first balloons in 1400s, possibly? And they learned how to drop munitions out of those little balloons. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe it's 2023. I'm 60 years old. Can't believe that their balloon technology is over Montana heading to Missouri, evidently. That's what they say. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
Well, my thought is, first off, how did they defeat NORAD? Because there are supposed to be systems in place to be watching the borders, you know. Mm-hmm. So that may be all this is they thought they had a way to get past NORAD, and they floated a balloon past with no payload in case they
exactly
got caught, just to see if they could.
Mm-hmm.
Go low tech.
Yeah, I mean, you have to wonder what the point of this is, if it is indeed a Chinese balloon. Again, we can't, I don't think you can believe anything you hear, right? So this is, the government is saying it's from China. The mainstream media is claiming that China's saying it is theirs, but I still don't know what the truth is, right? We don't have any idea what this is all about. And why haven't they shot it down? Oh, the claim is they don't want the debris to come down on whatever.
Well,
isn't it? Yeah, isn't it over farmland for the most part? Like, what's
that,
the...
Can't the United States Air Force hook a net around it, tie it up, and drop it down gently to the mainland here, our country? I don't know. I don't want to get too worked up, but listen, thanks for the
conversation. No, but you're making a good point, David. I mean, there's definitely some creative things. Like, if you don't want to blow it up, fine. There's definitely some more creative options they could be using on this.
And,
right?
if it was me, blowing it up would be absolutely the last thing I would do.
The technology.
And Maj Tour pointed this
bigger,
out, too.
Man,
until
man,
you know what man, it is, you can't blow it up.
And here's a bigger question on that point. How is it fueled to keep enough at 60,000 feet? That's cold air. You need a lot of heat to keep a balloon up. All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you for the call tonight.
Well, let's keep it hot air, because a balloon that was filled with helium or hydrogen might not have the same issue. I assume you were thinking of a hot air balloon there, which I suspect is not what they would use, because that would be a huge problem.
And you make a great point, Nobody, about capturing the thing so you can actually assess the technology and get some idea of what this thing is, right? Because maybe there is a payload and it's just waiting for it to be exploded, right?
And that's definitely possible. There's all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, balloons have, specifically high-altitude balloons, have been suggested as a way of delivering nukes. You could drop a bunch of uranium powder, drop a bunch of plutonium powder. Plutonium's the most poisonous substance on Earth, they say. There's a lot of things that would make me not want to blow that up. Certainly not over the continental United States, but I would hesitate even if it was even over the ocean.
We continue here. We have David on the line in Georgia. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
You know, that last caller made a very good point about just bringing, like, just send up an F-18 or some sort of airplane, hook a net around the thing, and bring it down. It was over Montana, for crying out loud. There's nobody in Montana, practically.
For the most part,
it would be easy if the Republican Party wanted to get rid of that thing. They could. All they have to do is say it was a good thing, and the Democrats would shoot it down in a heartbeat.
Right.
Oh, God, yeah. Anyway, the last caller also made a good point. How the heck did this thing defeat NORAD? it would have had to come either over the ocean or over Canada. And either Canada is, like, lax in their freaking security, or the U.S. is incompetent as all heck about keeping things out of their airspace.
Both can be true.
Yes.
Now, my question is ChatGPT,
yeah,
the uncensored version. What I'd like to hear its answer to what it thinks the best way to abolish the U.S. government might be.
What is the best way to abolish the U.S. government?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would like to hear a response to that.
All right, I'll make a note here, and we'll see if we can inquire of it. I did ask it a similar question about what it would take to end all world governments peacefully, mm-hmm, and it did answer that question as well.
What did it say?
I'll have to scroll around and see if I can find it. David, have you done any experimenting with the ChatGPT yourself?
No, but don't these things require like a phone number and stuff?
Email address.
Yeah, I think it's just an email.
Okay, if it's just an email, I might experiment with it. Yeah. But a lot of these things.
If you don't want to be connected back to your query, you know, make a brand new email address. But
yeah, you can do one of those like simple login type email addresses or whatever. But some of them require a phone number, and it's a lot harder to get a fake phone number than it is to get it to accept a fake phone number than it is to do an email. It's possible, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
This thing's being a little janky on me right now here. I'll see if I can pull that up for you, though. David, was there anything else you wanted to share tonight?
Nope, that's it.
All right, very good. Thank you for the call. Definitely appreciate hearing from you. What would it take to abolish the U.S. government?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what I can come up with. In the meantime, the number here is 603-283-6160. Government. Let's see what it comes to. Nope, I'm getting errors now. So earlier tonight, it started giving me error messages, and I wasn't able to get rid of them until I changed my internet connection. I've got a couple internet connections here at the studio, and that did solve the problem. So if I can get it to kick it out later, I will. Let's go to your calls here. Caller, you're on the air. What is your name?
My name is Robbie. I'm from Ohio. I think the best way to abolish U.S. government is the problem is that government, the need for government is an idea that people believe in. So in order to get rid of it, you're going to have to convince enough people that we don't need an organization that has like a monopoly on the use of force.
Yeah, well, we are going to have to convince people. You're absolutely right about that. That's one of the reasons we have as many libertarians moving to New Hampshire as possible, because what we found is that concentrating like-minded people in one geographic area not only makes it easier to influence things like legislation or whatever, but you also influence your neighbors. If there's more libertarians around, if there's more of them at the workplace, if there's more of them at the church that they go to, if there's more of them in the neighborhood that they live in, if they hear...
You definitely have to have more of them concentrated.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right.
That's a great thing. But actually what I was talking about tonight, I was listening to the February 1st episode, and Aria was on, and I don't know if she listens when she's not on or not, but she was talking about the difference between atheists and agnostics and such, and she was saying that an atheist was someone who didn't really know whether there was a God or not, or something. Maybe I mean, I don't know if I'm interpreting her right, but that, to me, is an agnostic.
I agree with you. I actually said that to her during the break, because I heard that conversation. I wasn't on the air that night, but I was listening to that part of the show.
Yeah.
And I popped my head in during the break, and I said, the way you described that sounded to me like you were describing an agnostic when you were describing an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And she was claiming that a agnostic is someone who deals with knowledge, and that an atheist was someone who doesn't have a belief in God, and she did describe as a hard atheist, as someone who is against God, who specifically rejects the idea of a God. Whereas I agree with you, Robert, that an agnostic is someone who just doesn't know whether there's a God or not.
But tell me, so here are my beliefs. So I think I'm an atheist. And it's because nobody has been able to prove to me, like, this God thing that lives in the sky, like, he's never come down and introduced himself to me. I don't know who he is. And you can't prove it. Like, I've had this conversation with religious people, and they say, like, well, it's never been proven that he doesn't exist. It's like, well, you can't prove a negative.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I don't believe until it's proven to me that there's this. Otherwise, I just don't believe that there's, like, a higher being. I mean, when you die, you die.
You sound like an atheist. If you do not believe in God, then that would, I believe, make you an atheist. But what do you think, Nobody?
I don't know. To me, an atheist is somebody who believes that there is no God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different from not believing that there is a God.
Hmm.
Okay? It's a more positive assertion, mm-hmm. whereas to me, an agnostic would be somebody who doesn't, I don't know if there's a God. I have no reason to believe that there is, but, you know, I have no reason to believe that if there was a God, that he would come and introduce himself to me. I mean, I describe myself as a devout agnostic, actually, which, and adding devout to it, what I mean by that is I would say that you can't know. And the reason that I believe that you can't know is because if I encountered a more advanced alien, or if I encountered a properly equipped CIA agent even, he might be able to make me hallucinate things that he wanted me to hallucinate. So even if a burning bush appeared to me and said, I'm God, all I would know is that something was able to, it might be God,
mm-hmm.
but it might also just be a CIA agent who happens to be able to mind control me. You know, so I can't even be certain of my own perceptions.
That's true.
But I can proceed on my best guess because that's all I got.
I guess I would say
that I agree that, like, you can't know, but logically, until it's proven to me, I have no reason to even consider the idea. Like, there's no, like, we're just beings like everything else. When we die, we're just gone. Like,
well, that's a belief as well. Okay, so that particular perspective is also a belief. You're only saying that because
that would be common of atheists, right?
Well, that would be an atheistic belief. What I think an agnostic would say is,
but
we
not
don't
necessarily. It's quite possible that one possibility is that we're in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And another possibility is that we're in the Matrix, but the Matrix is more like that game on Rick and Morty, where it's like somebody or other, a life well lived, where you go in and you are this guy for a while. In my mythology, it's called riding a monkey.
Robert, if you want to hang on, we can continue the discussion. If you have time, hang on. We'll continue here. The number is 603-283-6160, because it's definitely an interesting discussion to have. You know, what happens after you die? It's Free Talk Live.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. The issue with a Chinese high-altitude balloon floating over the U.S. is not being taken lightly in Washington.
In light of China's unacceptable action, I am postponing my planned travel this weekend to China.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says U.S. defense officials are continuing to monitor the progress of the balloon as it makes its way across the country. Earlier, China had confirmed its ownership of the balloon, but said that it is a civilian-piloted weather balloon that went off course. Pentagon says that's not true. At the same time, we learned China's president wants his nation's army ready for a Taiwan invasion by 2027. That's what CIA Director William Burns said this week at Georgetown University. Burns said it's the spy agency's stance to not underestimate President Xi Jinping. Burns added Xi has watched Russia's invasion of Ukraine closely over the last year. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and we probably have time for you if you want to dial in here now. The number is 603-283-6160. Everybody waited till the last hour to call in, so it's wall-to-wall callers right now.
At least it wasn't the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked because it's literally been call after call after call here in this hour. But again, we might be able to get you in if you're on the line here at 603-283-6160. It's Ian and Nobody, and don't forget, you can join us anytime online over at freetalklive.com. We have a variety of features there, and you can enjoy them for free at freetalklive.com. You can sign up for our podcast. You can subscribe to the show at feeds.freetalklive.com. That's feeds.freetalklive.com. We were on with Robert. He's still with us. He's in Ohio talking about atheism versus agnosticism and his, you know, kind of just asking us what we think about things. And I wanted to kind of weigh in here as the panentheist in the room, but somebody who came from atheism. I was born into a Christian family, was a Christian probably until I was about 13, and I started asking too many questions that they didn't have any good answers for. Mm-hmm. And they tended to be kind of about this, you know, this whole man in the sky mythology that they have, Robert. But then I was an atheist. I officially kind of came out of the closet as an atheist to my parents when I was 16, and they were actually okay with it. I was pleasantly surprised. They didn't, you know, they didn't turn on me or something like that. They weren't the most insane religious family or anything like that. So they were always pretty supportive of me. And I stayed that way for probably about a decade until I got into trying the occasional psychedelic substance and found, you know, some... And I'd always been into, like, positive mentality and, like, self-improvements and things like that. And so I ended up coming to the conclusion that after studying different religions while I was in jail the first time and, you know, finding that I liked a lot of the things that certain religions said, but I didn't like everything that they said. And so some things really resonated with me. And I really, what really resonates with me, and, you know, it's just a belief, right? But is the idea that we're all God. And that everything is God, and that essentially the universe is God experiencing itself. So it's God was this sort of non-existent thing and then created the universe and all these consciousness, these little bits of consciousness, so it can sort of monitor all of that and experience itself in a billion plus million billion different ways in any given moment. I like that idea that is essentially learning about itself through its pieces, which are us, having their experience. So that's not your typical man in the sky kind of God. It's a completely right. different kind of God, Robert, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I'll try to make my comments quick so that other people can talk because we're getting towards the end. But basically, yeah, it is a belief thing, whether agnostic versus atheism. And I did have this conversation with my parents when I got older. And they're agnostic. Like, they just are not, they don't know, they just say they don't know. They acknowledge that they can't know whether they're a God. Like, they think that there's something higher. There's, like, a higher being. But, like, the way I look at it is, as an atheist, I would say that they want the comfort in that there's something afterwards, where, like, I just think everything's a living thing on Earth, and, like, everything dies, everything, because ultimately I keep bringing up the dying thing, and that's what most people are in the religion about, because they want comfort in something after they're not here anymore, and it's just that you're just not here. Like, you die, your body, like, you just leave behind.
Well, that's your belief. I mean, we see people die. Okay, we know that we understand from our perspective in this 3D reality that we're in that people die, but that doesn't mean anything about what happens to their personality, or that happens to their consciousness, or their essence, or their soul, or whatever terminology you want to use. Is it possible that while their body goes limp and their heart stops pumping and their brain goes completely inactive, is it possible that their essence or their soul continues on in some way, shape, or form?
I mean, in people's memories, it does for a while, depending on who you are.
That's not what I mean.
As matter, your body.
That's not what I mean either. I'm not talking about matter.
Okay.
This is where
you're talking about consciousness.
This is where the atheist breaks down. The atheist cannot address questions like this because science cannot address questions like this. And the atheist tends to lean heavily on science as their belief system, and it cannot speak to consciousness because science doesn't know what it is. Science has no idea
Correct.
What consciousness is. Is it something that is beyond the physical?
Right. There's nothing to prove. Like, if you can't prove something to me by materially putting it in front of me, or putting it in my hands, actually, because I'm blind, I can't see it anyway. But putting it in my hands so I can feel it, then is it real? If this guy ain't shaking my hand, he ain't real. So, I mean, it is a belief thing. And I don't disrespect, I mean, like I said, I have most of my friends are agnostics, like most people are. And that's okay. Like, I don't disrespect that, but that's just how I look at it.
Well, you know, for me, experiences are not per se proof, but they are interesting. And and you can learn from those experiences. And whether you have the experience yourself or you hear other people having the experience, it does make for interesting documentation and consideration. And what I'm referring to here is the experience of people who have had, let's say, an out-of-body experience, perhaps on DMT, where they have a very persuasive experience of leaving their body and going into some other form that's outside of that, that is sort of this ethereal form and experience that they have. And they have studied this in like a hospital environment by injecting DMT. I believe the book is The Spirit Molecule, DMT, The Spirit Molecule by Rick Strassman, if I recall correctly, where they look at this and they compared different people's experiences, and they all had this very similar experience.
Also available as a video online.
Yes, that's right. And then, you know, and then there's also people who've had near-death experiences as well. So Bonnie and I have been reading some books about this where there's been studies done. It was actually in the late 80s, I think, or early 90s. Marvin, I forget his last name at the moment, a doctor who was studying near-death experiences in children. So young people who had had, like, who had actually had, like, a car accident or something horrific, you know, drowning or whatever had happened to them as a young child, and they had these experiences that, again, were all very similar, and it crossed over across different religious belief systems. It wasn't per se just something that Christians had or whatever. There might be some minor differences between them, but of going down a dark tunnel and then a light at the end and then coming into the light and having this, you know, incredible experience that in many cases transformed them for the rest of their lives into people who weren't afraid of death anymore, amongst other positive personal transformations. The, you know, the idea that humans tend to have this very similar near-death experience, does that tell you something, perhaps, about what might be happening to that consciousness at the point of death that is sort of, you know, it's together. It's some sort of experience that people have no matter what their religious belief is. I mean, can an atheist like you extrapolate anything from that, or would you just, you know, kind of whisk it away and say, oh, it's just electrical signals in your brain?
No, I would actually admit that I've not had any near-death experiences or anything like that. And maybe if I had a certain experience, it would make me change certain things. I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know that. Like,
indeed, we don't
know. There are a lot of experiences that are quite jolting that I have never experienced in my life. So who knows what effect those would have.
Fair enough.
I've had one out-of-body experience.
Tell me about it.
Basically, I mean, it was very brief and probably not that interesting, but I was tripping balls in Ann Arbor. I was probably about 17. And I felt myself leave my body, and I was sitting on the couch with two other people, and I started perceiving reality from like the upper corner of the room, and I was just looking down at the three of us, and then I said to myself something along the lines of, I'm not supposed to be up here. And then I was back in my body. So it was, you know, very brief, but it was very strange.
Yeah, and they also have stories in this near-death experience book sort of that are related to things like you're describing. Some people having out-of-body experiences, or they were, for instance, near death, or in this circumstance where their body was shut down. They couldn't possibly have been aware of certain things. But then later on, they had this out-of-body experience while they're on like the operating table or something like that. And then later, when questioned, they were able to recall things that they wouldn't have been able to know about, and they wouldn't have been able to see from their perspective, right? Like, even if the doctor said, nurse, hand me the scalpel, like, they could have heard that happen, right, even in the state that they were in.
Right, but they don't know what's happening in the parking lot.
Right, or the room next door or something like that. And they were able to recount things that they shouldn't have known about, that was only explainable if they were observing from the corner of the room or something like that. So really interesting things. There's a lot out there that we don't know about. You know, there's a lot in the universe, much more in the universe beyond our philosophy. And I forget if that's Plato or something like that who said that. But thank you, Robert, for the call.
Well, it could be Hamlet. There are more things on heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy.
That might be a variant of it, yeah. Thank you, Robert, for the call, though. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, what you were saying about pantheism is actually similar to Stranger in a Strange Land, where the conclusion of the protagonist ends up forming a church in it called the Church of All Worlds, and their greeting is "Thou art God," and at one point he says, "You are God, I am God, all that Grox is God," and Grok is actually a Martian word in the book that means either to understand or to eat, because the Martians are actually cannibals, and so when somebody dies, they'll eat their body, and that is how they finally come to truly understand and appreciate all that they are, because it becomes part of them.
Right. Literally.
Yeah.
Right. Let's continue here. Caller, you are on Free Talk Live. What is your name?
I'm Andrew.
Andrew, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, so I think it's an interesting conversation. I guess, in the last few years, I've actually kind of started thinking about things, like as far as when you die and where you go and all that stuff. I've started to think it's more the opposite way, that instead of people thinking, oh, you're born into this body and then you die and you go somewhere, I actually think you already went somewhere and you come back to Earth as your spirit to experience what it's like to be on Earth. Because I think when you're in the spiritual realm, you can only experience certain things. But when you're in this realm, you can actually be a spirit in a body and actually feel things. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but I think it's kind of the opposite.
If I can try to restate what you're saying that this experience that we're having, we are essentially spiritual beings having a physical experience.
Right, and we were already having an experience before we got into the bodies, but you get to have more of a more unique experience when you get to be a spirit in this body, if that makes any sense. So almost like a reincarnation, but I don't believe in reincarnation necessarily. Mm-hmm. But if a spirit leaves your body when you die, then I think there was a spirit before there that entered your body when you were born. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, and I think a common belief system in this area is, let's call it New Age, is that the spirit is prohibited from knowing its previous experiences while it's in the human form, right? So if we've been through other experiences in the past or other lifetimes, etc., we don't get to tap into that knowledge in this current experience, even though that thing that is larger than us, whether it's God or this larger ethereal spirit, is aware of those things. We don't get to know, what we learned in those other lifetimes, per se, that got us here.
Yeah, like a video game, when you play Duke Nukem, you may remember every time you've ever played Duke Nukem, but Duke doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
Well, because, I've had these experiences with
Hail
people.
To the king.
Because people talk about your family, and we commonly think about your family as your flesh and blood, but family to me are the people that you meet along your path in life, because the friends that I've made over the years, and we may or may not be friends anymore, but the friends I've made throughout my life have been way more empowering than my own family and flesh and blood has ever been. And so I think that when people think about what's your purpose on Earth, I think it's almost like you're here, you're a spirit in your bodily form, and it's a way that you can kind of reunite with people. Your family, your real family, your spiritual family while you're here, because it is kind of an amazing thing when you can meet somebody and you're like, man, I've never met you before, but I feel like I've known you for a million years.
Yeah, that is an interesting feeling, and thank you for the call tonight. I do appreciate hearing from you. Let's continue. We've got Joe. He's in Maryland. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi, Ian. Hi, everybody.
It's on your mind. Hey.
As always, you're both my prayers, and now it's time to change the subject. All right. Ian, you're right about
God experiencing through us. I had a vision when I was in Vermilion, South Dakota, at the Indian Reservation, and I saw the universe being created.
Wow.
And what happened was I saw a big yellow ball to the left of me. Not on Earth. I'm like in eternity without anything around me. The yellow ball expels all its energies. And then I see the universe being created bit by bit. And then all the excess energy goes back into the yellow ball. Well, the way I interpret that is when the Lord created the universe, he put a piece of himself in everything in the universe. Now, he was so omnipotent, he couldn't feel. But he left a piece of himself in everything in the universe. And so he can feel now, and he can experience what you're experiencing, what Rich is experiencing, what mm-hmm. I'm experiencing, Robert's experiencing. And that's why I know there's a God. That's why I pray. And like I said, I pray for all of you, even, you know, David and Sarah in New Mexico. They're always in my prayer.
Even them.
Yeah, well, they're laughed at and stuff, but I know that they need help. And I ask, you know, the Lord to protect them and to keep them safe from harm and help them seek what they find. That's what I ask for everybody. Nobody, I say the same thing when I'm, you know, referring to you. I hope that you're...
Where were you when you saw the vision? You said you were an Indian...
What's that?
Where did you see this vision you described in South Dakota?
Oh, I was at the Red Road Gathering. You can look it up. They have it every year. And I'm pretty sure it's Vermilion, South Dakota. Mm-hmm. And
is that the Rainbow Family? Is that the Rainbow Family, or is it a...
Indian tribe.
Okay, it's an Indian tribe.
I'm asking.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Right. What they do is they ask everybody to come, all different tribes, all different people, and it's the Road to God, the Red Road Gathering.
Okay.
Hmm.
And what did you, did you take any kind of sacrament prior to the vision, or did it just come upon you?
No. I was outside, and I was in the sun, and it was really hot. And I had a Reiki healer. She was a trainee over top of me, you know, waving her hands, you know, trying to manipulate the, you know, energies in my body to help heal things. And all of a sudden, I felt an intense fire inside of me, and then all of a sudden I was transported there to infinity.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing your story tonight, Joe. I definitely appreciate hearing from you as we continue with Major Payne on the line. You're on Free Talk Live, calling from Michigan. Go ahead, Major.
Yeah, I can tell you about my own personal feeling, but you guys were talking about the atheists and the spirit and whatnot. And it has been scientifically proven that when the sperm hits the egg and conception is conceived, there is a spark. So why is it not feasible that there is a spark at the end of life? I have long believed that I am an old soul. So anybody that believes recycling is the Green New Deal is just full of it. But anyway, so this was about 12 years ago, and we had a real hard cold winter coming on, and it was getting to be mid-November, and I didn't have no damn firewood cut. And suddenly my left hand, and I'm left-handed, I couldn't even hold a cup of coffee. 3-4 mugs I dropped in 2-3 days. I left the Catholic Church. I used to was an altar boy, man.
Mm-hmm.
I left the Catholic Church when I was about 12, 13, and I've always had a hard time bending a knee ever since then.
Sure.
But I spent 2 weeks bending a knee, praying to God, fix my wrist, because if you don't, I'm going to freeze to death, because that's exactly what happened. I was a broke ass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I ain't had no problem with it 12 years since.
All right. Anything else you want to share?
Well, just there's reasons to believe, dude. There's something out there beyond us.
Oh, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
And
Yeah, the caller earlier, Robert, reminds me of myself as a teenager. It sounded like, you know, using a standard kind of atheist talking points, and there's a lot more out there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's why they call it faith, man. You got to believe in stuff you can't see.
Thank you for the call, Major. I appreciate hearing from you here tonight. Sarah's in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live, Sarah.
Oh, can I mention that we're going to have a Native American Day in the Roundhouse Santa Fe?
Hey, you're on topic, Sarah. Okay, what's going to happen on Native American Day?
This is about political. It's nothing spiritual, but
you're not going to do some
Native
peyote?
Native American Day is a spiritual. Well, it's a celebration of culture, but the natives always bring the spirituality as part of their culture.
Sure, it is. Yeah.
So I don't know. I would like to, and it's.
Do you ever do some DMT?
No, I don't use drugs or anything.
How about meditation?
If you meditate, you could actually hear from God. God's
okay.
Talking to you. You know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like I'm listening to other people's prayers, and I feel like I answer their prayers in my meditation.
Maybe you're God.
Well, I mean, we're all connected, you know. So most of the
time, I tend to agree with you on that one, Sarah.
That,
even though we don't agree on a lot, I do agree with you about that.
You know, I have no idea what I'm praying for, and I find out later what I was praying for, you know? How about that?
That is interesting.
And it's like, oh, I was praying for this. Somebody was praying, want me to answer their prayers. But at the time, I don't know what I'm praying for.
Sarah, thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. One thing you can do with ChatGPT to tie this all in together is I actually had this story from the Jerusalem Post. A rabbi apparently used ChatGPT to write his sermon.
Ooh.
And then he gave the sermon at his congregation or to his congregation and asked his congregation to guess who had written the sermon. And, of course, they guessed some human being, right? Like some other rabbi, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, apparently. And, of course, they were wrong. It was ChatGPT, and you know, he fooled his congregation into thinking it was an actual human being that wrote it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, one of the concerns that I have with creating corporations is that you're creating effectively a person, a legal person, that doesn't have a soul and doesn't have a conscience, and that's what Jews would call a golem. And I have to wonder if a Jew would consider an AI possibly to be a golem.
That's a good question.
Because
if you're Jewish,
to some extent, that's what it is.
If you're Jewish, feel free to call us tomorrow night and talk about it. Until
or
then,
if you're not,
we'll see you online. In the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.
You ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.